Team 33.
Abysmal. The worst thing I can say about it was that, yeah, there were loud, loud boos at halftime, but they were almost being clapped off at full time because the fans nearly felt sorry for them.
Team 33. Live every Friday night on OTB Sports Radio. Download the podcast now in the OTB Sports app.
And we want to reflect on Liverpool's win over Atletico Madrid in the Champions League last night. And to do that, delighted to say, founder of the Anfield Wrap, Gareth Roberts. Good morning to you.
Good morning. You okay?
Flying it, thank you. And I'm sure you are this morning as well. I noted with interest Jurgen Klopp's comments before the game last night that he was expecting, without question, a game of intensity in a tough game. Didn't quite materialise that way.
No, it didn't turn out that way, but Liverpool made a fast start. We're in Atletico's faces from the get-go. That's been sort of a pattern in quite a few Liverpool games this season. I think there was a slight nervousness that, you know, Liverpool lately have not took advantage of early leads. We did that out there, of course. We saw what we saw against Brighton at the weekend, but this time it felt a little bit more comfortable. I thought Atletico shot themselves in the foot a little bit. We all know that they love the dark arts of the game, but the dark arts of the game come back to bite them on the bum this time. I thought around, you know, the referee was obviously having none of it this time. I thought they were targeting Sadio Mane, and that was why you see Sadio eventually withdrawn at half time, which was a bit of a shame because I thought he looked on it and he looked sharp. But yeah, it was more comfortable, I think, than we all thought, but absolutely delighted with it, as you say. You know, Liverpool have wrapped up qualification and won the group with two games to spare, and I think that's brilliant for Liverpool. It gives Jurgen Klopp an opportunity to rest some of the players, but it also gives Jurgen Klopp an opportunity to give some players some real big European experience. We've got Porto at home this month, and we've got Milan in December, and you know, the likes of Tyler Morton, who's looked good and is highly rated, and we all want to see how he gets on in a first team game, certainly in Europe. That would be brilliant for Tyler, brilliant for the club and brilliant for fans, I think. So yeah, perfect night really for Liverpool.
How much of last night's result was tied up in some satisfaction with some comeuppance for the syndicate of shithouses, to borrow your own phrase?
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, absolutely. I think there was that. I mean, look, ultimately, it was a group phase match, and you can play a big name in a group phase, but it's never for me going to feel the same as if it's a quarter final or, you know, it's a real big game. But there was an edge last night, and I think that edge was encouraged by the syndicate of shithouses that Atletico no doubt have, starting with the manager. I mean, he's doubled down on his handshake huff. He said that, you know, it's not for him, et cetera, et cetera. He obviously had Suarez in the ranks as well. And then, as I say, you know, they seem to me to be targeting Sadio Mane early on. We've seen all the usual stuff of feigning injury, getting around the referees, just generally being a pain. And I think all that added an edge to it. You know, Liverpool had a safety blanket there last night. They didn't have to win because of their start to the group. They could have took it easy, but I felt that there was an edge. I felt that the team wanted to go out, get the job done. They didn't shy away from challenges themselves. It was good to have Fabinho back in the ranks for that type of moment. And yeah, I think they wanted to get it done, to beat this side. And there was a bit of beef between the sides, and I don't mind a bit of that.
Yeah. What was your, like, when Liverpool are 2-0 up, as they had been in the previous game, and there was 30 seconds there where it looked as if, oh my God, I can't believe this, Liverpool have coughed up a load of chances, and Suarez, of all people, has made it 2-1, and like, who knows where this game goes. And at that point, for that 30 seconds, I think a lot of people were looking at the game going, like, questioning Liverpool in a way that you don't when it's 2-0 and you think everything's comfortable and they're just cruising to the finish line. Is it wrong to think too deeply about that sort of stuff?
I think it's natural, isn't it? I think it's natural as a football fan to do that. I think it's natural for people in the media to do that as well, because the media are always looking for a line or a problem or an issue with a club. So, you know, yes, there was that quick moment where you're like, oh, no, they're not going to do it again, are they? And there was quite an amusing moment at 2-0 as well, where the cop started to sing Jurgen Klopp's name, and he actually turned round and sort of, you know, remonstrated with the cop. He said about it before, about, he thinks when he hears his name being sung, it's as though we're saying, you know, the match is done and the game is over. And I have to be honest with you, that's how we felt, though, in the ground last night. It did feel like it was done. It did feel like it was over. They were down to 10 men. But then, yeah, it would be him, wouldn't it? It would be Suarez. He hits the shot, it gets the deflection, it goes in. But even that was a wonderful moment that it gets ruled out. I mean, we have one chalked off ourselves for VAR. I wasn't too sure about that, even when I've seen it back. But yeah, I mean, you know, Suarez and Simeone were both pantomime villains on the night, and they both got the comeuppance. You know, Suarez got booked, he had a goal disallowed, and then he subbed off the pitch as well. So he's had a pretty miserable night there. And that, you know, you've got to be honest about these things. That adds to the enjoyment.
Yeah, the booing of Suarez, you were fully expecting it last night, and that he'd maybe gone on a bit of a sort of a charm offensive in advance to try and mitigate some of that. Is like, obviously there's so much spoken, Gareth, about like what went on, particularly around the Evra time and like his behaviour after obviously he's left the club. Is there an element of the booing, and again, maybe I'm just overthinking this one, but is there an element of the booing that is Liverpool fans' opportunity for some catharsis almost post all that stuff that went on with Kenny Dalglish that time and with the team that time, that Carragher obviously is, I think, live on Sky at one point or another, apologised to Evra and the club, I think, have made similar moves. Is there an element of it that's like, Jesus, that what we did there was wrong, and we're taking this out on this guy now?
Maybe there is, yeah. I mean, I certainly, from my point of view, think how the club reacted at the time was wrong. I said so at the time. Not everybody felt the same way. You know, as football fans, some football fans at least often do. They dig in, they trench in, and they back their own no matter what. And some people will forgive anything if a footballer has ability, it seems. I mean, we've seen that over and over, not just at Liverpool, at clubs worldwide. I'm not a huge fan of it. I think that if you're a player at a football club, A, of course, you need to be good at football, but B, you need to respect the values of the club as well. And for me, Luis Suarez didn't do that when he was at Liverpool. There was obviously the Evra incident, but there was also the way he manoeuvred for a move. He tried to go to Arsenal. He essentially went on strike at one point. For me, as soon as it was possible for him to leave, he did leave. And he only won the League Cup when he was at Liverpool. And for me, we're watching a better player than him now in Mo Salah, someone who's won the league, won the European Cup, and from what we can see, is happy to stay around. Whereas, you know, Suarez was happy to wave his bye-bye. And look, people can say Liverpool were at a different junction, a different place at that time. I get that. But yeah, I mean, he's biting an opponent as well in a Liverpool shirt. So you're right as well to mention Kenny Dalglish. I mean, to me, Kenny Dalglish is an absolute legend, the Liverpool Football Club, unquestioned. And for me, he got thrown under the bus by Luis Suarez, you know, promised the manager at the time to go and shake a hand, doesn't shake the hand. And then, you know, Kenny's left to face the music. And for me, you know, that wasn't the right thing. I don't think it should have been Kenny facing the music. Kenny's a football manager and a football man. There should have been people higher up in the club, you know, showing some leadership that day, that time. But they didn't do. It was left to Kenny. But ultimately, it fell down to Suarez's behaviour. And then there's the way he's behaved when he was at Barcelona. We saw him going in on Andy Robertson and things like that. We saw him, for me, celebrating. I don't mind a celebration against an old club. I'm not one of them who thinks you can walk away and pretend you haven't scored a goal. But he went really over the top, and it was a bit like, well, hang on. So he didn't respect Liverpool for me very much. So I don't know why he should demand respect the other way. And yet you're right. Look, I think a lot of people look back at that time and say, that was wrong. That it was wrong how a lot of us reacted. It was wrong how the club reacted. And hopefully, you know, well, A, we never see anything like that again. And B, should we, God forbid, see something like that again, then we all react in the right way this time.
Yeah, we've Patrice Evra on the show tomorrow, actually, and that's, I'm knee-deep in his book, and you read his account of it, you think, God, is there any other way for this to be construed, and how was it not so obvious at that time? No. You've got the linguistic experts coming in and saying, oh, it could be construed this way. I mean, on the football pitch, in the heat of battle, it couldn't be construed any other way, really, was the thing. What, just one on the game last night, then, on that card, was the booing then was like a deep seated, like, I mean, hatred is a very strong word, but like a dislike of this guy from a good section of the support, because it can be, I think you mentioned earlier on, that sort of pantomime villain bit, but it's not that, is it?
I don't think it is, no. I think for a lot of us, it is more. It's what I'm talking about. It, you know, people are very passionate about the club. It's their life. I feel like I'm always saying that when I come on here. You know, we live it. Football fans live their football clubs and they're proud of it. And, you know, so much of their life is entwined in it. And so if someone shows disrespect to the badge, to the club, to the people, to the city, to the manager, to a legend like Kenny Dalglish, then they're not going to be liked. And look, it wasn't, everyone doesn't feel the same about this. Like, you know, last night when I got in, I had people saying to me, well, have you seen this person's opinion and have you seen what this person said? And there was a few people giving me a little bit of stick as well, saying, you know, how can you clap someone like Lallana? And and not someone like Mo Suarez. And I'm like, Luis Suarez. Mm. And I'm like, well, because for me, it's back to what I said before about values. Adam Lallana respected the values. Adam Lallana did good work, but for the club, both as a footballer, but in terms of the culture, he embraced the city, he got involved with food banks, all of those things. Suarez did none of that and did the complete opposite. And I think there is a dislike and a disrespect for Suarez, but others will still say, I don't care. He's one of the best players I've ever seen in a red shirt, and we'll push all the other stuff away. Like I say, there's always football fans that will do that over anything. I always go back to Hicks and Gillette on this and say, when they were at our club and when they were doing what they were doing to our club, there were people who were happy to just say, I'm not bothered. You know, we've got players on the pitch. We're winning games. We've got a manager. I had people saying to me, you need to get off the internet. And I was like, no, you need to understand what Hicks and Gillette are doing to our football club and get on the streets and start protesting about it, because we can make a difference. But so people consume football in different ways, and people are different people and have different opinions. And I think there are some different opinions about Suarez, but I guess those boos were audible on TV. I was obviously in the middle of the cop, but certainly where I was stood, there was plenty of people booing him, and I was one of the number.
I'm not surprised to hear you say that from our conversation the last five or six minutes. Very hard to get a read on exactly where Liverpool are at the minute. You've obviously got the Brighton game from the other weekend as a bit of evidence. You have like some players coming back. Thiago comes onto the pitch last night, and then you've got the Curtis Jones update. Firmino sort of half limps off. Difficult to know. Like, it's maybe easy to make a case for either scenario here, in that Liverpool, and they are of course genuine title contenders no matter what's happening on the injury front, but what's your sense of exactly at this moment, because it feels like a pivotal enough moment at the minute for Liverpool, what's your sense of exactly where it is they're at?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you say, they are genuine title contenders. There's no two ways about that. I think if you look at all the facts and figures, the stats that underlie the stats and all that kind of stuff, you know, Liverpool are absolutely brilliant going forward at the moment. With 25 games unbeaten as well, which has just matched the club record that was set in Bob Paisley's time. And I understand what you say. I get that, you know, and it's the same in the Liverpool bubble that people are saying, I'm not sure, like, it's a shame that we've got injuries. Bobby's gone off last night. It's a shame about Keita, because he was showing some promise there and then he's got injured again. There was the body language comment from Jurgen Klopp, which was a surprise to me. He doesn't normally go public on his grievances, but I thought he was sort of, you know, was putting it on the toes, really, of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Curtis Jones there for me. I think that was who that was aimed at that night. I thought you got a response, by the way, from Oxlade-Chamberlain last night. Mm. And look, it was massive for me to see Fabinho back on the pitch last night. There's no one at the club that comes close to being able to do the job Fabinho can do in his position. So to have him there and to have him playing again is the biggest thing for me in midfield. So if he's there, he's able to play against West Ham at the weekend, I think that's a big tick in the box to say we can go and beat a form team in the Premier League right now. People will continue to say that Liverpool should have invested one more in the last transfer window, and you can see the argument why. You've got the likes of Milner, who's cracking on now age-wise. You've got the likes of Keita, who, since he's pulled on a red shirt, his injury record is horrendous, although it wasn't at his club before Liverpool, so there's no reason for Liverpool to think that was going to be the case. But, you know, it's a hindsight thing, isn't it? People will, because the other argument about that is, well, they'd already recruited to replace Ronaldo, if you want, by getting Thiago in. But then he's had a bad injury record since he joined Liverpool as well. So we could do with a little bit of fortune around the injuries, but there's not too much wrong, to be honest with you. I thought Brighton played well. It was a bit of a makeshift midfield in that game. And okay, we all walk away disappointed that we haven't won that one. But going forward, Liverpool are unstoppable right now, scoring 2-3 goals at least every single game right now. I think any defence in the world struggles against this attack right now. So that gives us a huge chance of winning every single game that we play. So I'm fully behind where Liverpool are. I just think that, you know, maybe we could do with a little bit more luck injury wise. But you're about to say it's easy when you see Thiago and Fabinho come on the pitch last night, and then we get the Bobby thing. So it feels a little bit, come on, give us a break, the injury gods. But we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Yeah, and West Ham at the weekend feels like it'll be a really good test of where this Liverpool team
Absolutely.
Are at.
Yeah, look, West Ham are doing brilliantly, aren't they? I think we're all sort of they're one of those clubs where I think, you know, there's no real beef between Liverpool and West Ham, so you can sort of go and watch a West Ham match and not have any skin in the game. You can just watch it for what it is, and look, they're playing well, they're doing well in Europe. They've obviously got a European match to contend with tonight, and Liverpool have got a little bit, you know, 24 hours more to rest, if you like. So maybe that's to our advantage. We've given David Moyes plenty of stick down the years as well because of who he's managed. And we've got the song about him being a football genius. But look, he might actually be one because, you know, it's incredible what he's done with West Ham. And I wondered last season whether it was down to it seemed quite toxic in their ground at times, and there was all these factions and all the rest of it. And then they had a period where they were playing well at home in front of no fans. And I thought, well, I wonder what it'll be like when they get fans back in. Well, the fans are back in and they're still playing well. Mm. So you've got to respect them. You've got to respect what they're doing. But the only thing I can sort of clutch at when I'm looking at what they've done so far this season, they've knocked both Manchester clubs out the cups, which is absolutely fine by me. But in terms of who they're playing in the league so far, they've not really played the big boys. They've got us at home. They've got Man City coming up as well, away. So they're two games, I think, where you see where they really are. But yeah, it's a tough one on paper for Liverpool. I'll be delighted to go and get a result there if we can. And as I say, I'm confident of doing so. I think it'll be a good game, though. West Ham play good football, and we'll certainly test Liverpool on Sunday.
I do think, actually, reading Evra's book, that Moyes' reputation actually goes up a little bit, and that the players seem to really have... he did make a couple of mistakes when he came in, and I'm sure he'd accept all of that, but the players checking out, which is very clear from the Evra book, didn't help him. Can I ask you one thing just about the... There was a lot of chatter on the game last night, Gareth, before we wrap, just about the last time the two of them obviously met, and the 3,000 supporters that had come from Spain to come to the game, and the government report that was saying that they were linking directly 37 deaths...
Yeah,
in Liverpool to that. It's a phenomenal number, and it's a travesty in so many ways. Was there I don't know, you were obviously at the ground, is that part of the chat last night, or do people think about it? Do people, again, the more than the conversation we were having earlier on, are you just trying to square it off in a dark part of your brain and not overly consider it too much?
I think it was, you know, it was always going to come up, wasn't it? Because 19 months earlier, it was the same opposition, the same competition, a night game and all the rest of it. So it was always going to be in the back of your mind. And it was in the back of mine, I've got to be honest. I went to that game that night. I think back about it a lot, to be honest, because it felt weird on the night. It felt weird that, you know, that their fans were allowed to travel at that time as well, when Madrid was a hotspot for coronavirus. It did make you wonder, really. And, you know, I do what I do as a living. So I thought, well, because of that, because I've got a season ticket, I don't know, I sort of felt duty-bound to go. But then once I was in there in that game, it felt increasingly wrong. And it's nothing to do with the football or the results or what happened that night. That almost seems inconsequential to me now. It's the way it felt. And, you know, you saw Jurgen Klopp kicking off on people that night because they were trying to reach out and high-five him and stuff. He said himself that since it's the only time he's sort of not been thinking about football at a football match. And I know exactly what he means, because that's how it felt to me. There was almost like this guilt that started to grow around it, and certainly afterwards as well. And you were like, you know, what were we doing there? But then I look back at it another way and think, well, I shouldn't feel like that, really, should I? Because there's the government, there's the public health officials, there's the local authority. All of those people are paid to listen to the experts and make decisions that protect the public. And for me, they got it wrong by allowing the likes of that match and Cheltenham to take place. And then we've seen the report that's come out since. It's linked those deaths, and it's incredibly sad. And look, I think about the families that undoubtedly make that link themselves. We've seen some of them in the media, you know, people talking about they've lost a father who went to that game. He didn't really go anywhere else other than that game. So, you know, therefore, you make the link and you say, well, it's likely that he picked it up there and it ended up costing him his life. So, yeah, incredibly sad. And I was actually advocating, I don't think anything happened around it. And I can understand both ways, but I was advocating pre-match in the build-up saying, you know, I wouldn't have minded seeing some kind of mark of respect around it, because for those families that I mentioned, because I don't care about the politics of it too much. What I do care about is there are definitely people out there who will have made that link, will have lost people. You know, there's people in the Liverpool number, if you like, who went to that game 19 months ago and unfortunately couldn't go last night because they've lost their lives. And for me, that maybe should have been respected or marked in some way. That's what I would have liked to see. Other people disagreed.
Yeah, no, brilliant as always, Gareth. And
thank you, mate.
Didn't even get a chance to talk about the Manchester Derby, which I know you were very keen to break into. What's your ideal outcome of that game, by the way?
Manchester United win, they're no threat to Liverpool, and Manchester City are. It's as simple as that.